3 months after giving birth, Catherine Cho found herself restrained in a psychiatric ward, convinced her infant son had the devil's eyes. She wasn't using drugs, she had no history of mental illness. She was a successful publishing professional who'd planned everything perfectly, yet her mind had shattered completely. This is postpartum psychosis, a condition affecting just 1 to 2 in 1,000 new mothers, and it can transform reality itself within days. One moment you're changing diapers, the next you're trapped in what feels like hell, unable to distinguish between what's real and what your fractured mind is creating. Catherine's memoir pulls back the curtain on maternal mental health's darkest corner, showing us how quickly the ground beneath our feet can disappear. Korean tradition demands new mothers stay home for 21 days after birth. Peppers and charcoal ward off evil spirits, and a 100-day celebration marks survival. Catherine rejected it all, showering immediately, eating sushi instead of healing soup, welcoming visitors. At 2 months postpartum, she embarked on a cross-country tour with baby Kato. In Virginia, her stern father, who'd merely texted okay at Kato's birth, transformed into a gentle grandfather, playing Bach and giving Catherine mornings to rest. But at her in-law's New Jersey home, 8 days before Kato's 100-day celebration, Catherine's world shattered. She saw devils in her son's eyes. Patterns emerged everywhere. Connections between myths, family stories, her present moment. Time looped and fragmented. She became convinced she was in hell, that she needed to guide James through circles of suffering like Beatrice in Dante's Inferno. After 4 sleepless days despite medication, she was admitted to an involuntary psychiatric ward, separated from her infant son. Time dissolved in the psych ward. The chlorine-scented space had beige walls with peeling paint, shaped like a Y with a central glass enclosure where staff monitored everyone. Catherine occupied a high-security room with a worker constantly charting her movements. "I feel like a zoo animal," she observed, "except the cage protects those on the outside while we, the animals, roam." 25 patients shuffled in socks and slippers. Shoes weren't allowed. The unspoken rule, ignore those who screamed. Catherine was simply the Asian one. People identified each other through basic traits, glasses, hair, skin color, like children playing guess who. At 8:45, everyone lined up for medicine without announcement. Catherine swallowed her bitter liquid and pills obediently, though unlike others, she didn't know their names. In this existence without books or pens, she treasured a found notebook and a black pen a worker reluctantly provided. She drew a family tree with herself at the center, connected to James with London written above. Below them, she wrote Kato in large letters. She listed the words she could call herself, daughter, sister, wife. Then she added mother, which looked strange beside the others. Catherine's first memory of psychosis was bright light. Restrained on a hospital bed, hair clenched in her fists, she saw a nurse named Nimandi. When he asked how she got there, she could only recall tearing off her clothes in a waiting room, screaming in terror. She asked if he believed in God. 50-50, he responded. When he asked if she saw him, she did, but she also perceived him as the Archangel Michael, come to deliver them from demons. Her memory fragmented into glimpses of past lives, both real and imagined. Her body felt unfamiliar. Sore breasts, protruding ribs, restraint marks, no wedding ring. She paced to collect herself, fighting loops of repeating memories. She clung to her truth. I am Catherine. I am married to James. I have a son. As her psychosis deepened, time fractured into multiple realities. She saw James pacing a hotel room with Kato in his arms, over and over in an infinite loop. In some versions, he shook with their son's dead body. Hundreds of miniature images flickered, James pacing, failing to keep his son alive while Catherine's body lay on the bed. She couldn't scream or move, hands over her ears and eyes. She heard voices, including one she believed was God telling her, "Your son needs to die." She saw patterns everywhere, fairy tales, stories of three brothers, east and west. What does it mean to doubt reality itself? To be trapped in a dream you can't wake from, where the people you love transform into symbols? Throughout her psychosis and recovery, Catherine grappled with Korean folktales that shaped her understanding of love and sacrifice. Her grandmother's warning, "May you never find love," reflected a cultural belief that happiness tempts fate. Koreans see love as destructive, like the hibiscus in their Kentucky yard that bloomed brilliantly but couldn't be cut without tearing. The Korean heroines in her mother's tales embodied sacrifice over romance: Shim Chung, who sold herself to save her blind father; Nonge, who danced an invading general off a cliff. In one fairy tale, lovers Jiknya and Gyeonwoo neglect their duties and are separated as punishment, allowed to meet only once yearly when magpies form a bridge across the Milky Way. These stories weren't just folklore, they were prophecies Catherine felt herself living. Her psychosis became an obsessive search for her husband, where she imagined herself as Beatrice, leading him through hell. Cultural inheritance both burdened and strengthened her, shaping how she understood her darkest moments. After 12 days away from Cato 4 in the emergency room, 8 in the ward, Catherine was released. When her parents brought Cato to the hotel, she didn't recognize him. She felt nothing. Back in London, Catherine took 3 daily pills, an antipsychotic that numbed her brain and made her hands shake, a pill to counter its side effects, and a sedative for sleep. She later learned that in the UK, she would have been admitted to a mother-baby unit. The separation had been unnecessary. Weeks later, Catherine fell into deep depression, common after postpartum psychosis. She couldn't lift a spoon or form a smile. A mental health crisis team visited every morning. "You will get better," they'd say. The depression lasted months. She held Cato only minutes each day. By May, she could move without effort, but she couldn't remember what it felt like to love him. When she looked at him, he could have been anyone's baby. She went through the motions, reaching for him, smoothing his hair, stroking his cheek. She practiced smiling, thinking, this is what a mother would do. Then one ordinary day, as she was holding him, Catherine remembered him, his smile, his breath against her arm, the warmth of sun on their cheeks, and she was a mother again. Catherine Cho's journey reveals that motherhood isn't a switch that flips at birth, but a relationship that develops over time, one that can be interrupted by illness yet rebuilt with patience. Her experience shows how biology, culture, and personal history converge in mental health crises, transforming a rational professional into someone unable to distinguish reality from delusion within days. Her story challenges romantic notions of motherhood, revealing its raw, transformative power. The intense demands of new motherhood, complicated by sleep deprivation, hormonal changes, and societal expectations, are presented with unflinching honesty. Mental health crises ripple through families. James navigated helplessness as their relationship transformed through crisis. We can lose ourselves completely and still find our way home. If you're a new mother struggling, what you're feeling is real and help exists. If you love someone going through this, stay, especially when they seem lost. True happiness is reaching that moment when love itself is enough, to fall faster than gravity and find sky again on the other side.